I asked our brother to lead us in prayer this morning. I was greatly blessed by the fact that he came on his own. His wife has been caring for the little children, not well, but he came here nonetheless, wanted to be in the membership class this morning. And thank you very much, my brother. We did have three other people in the membership class this morning for which we praise the Lord. And just ask you to pray that those who do come with us will be people who have a heart for the Lord and for the Lord's work in this place. Now let's see. Everybody here belongs to us over here. Anybody over here that doesn't belong to us? Oh, yes. You do belong here, but you didn't come. There's Dan Briggs and his wife. Please, Dan. Some of these people don't know you. Dan Briggs and his wife. Thank you very much. We got in touch with Dan many, many years ago when Ruby Mangan and Ardith Hirth, well, she was Ardith Andrews, you remember them, they led their parents, his grandparents, to the Lord. And through that means we got hold of these beautiful people. So nice to see you. Thank you. God bless you. And I notice that Jeff Dahl is here all by himself. He's had an interruption in his marriage already. No, not really. She's down in St. Louis seeing mutual friends. So glad that she's there. Thank you. All right. Tonight, please come back to hear our brother, Pastor Matt, give the Word of God, and you'll always be pleased by what he has to say. And now he has much more to say since he's got two children, so. All right. God bless you. Thank you very much. Please remember that next Lord's Day, following the morning service, we will have the monthly potluck. And you ladies, please, do your job on Saturdays with ease, not Sunday morning. And be all ready to be here by the grace of the Lord. Thank you so much. I believe those are all the announcements we have to bring to your attention. We'll ask the brethren to come and receive our offerings. As you have money from the Lord that you want to give to this place, this is your opportunity. Thanks. It sounds just like when he sings way down the bridge. That's great. Shall we stand to sing the doxology, please? In our prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege that you've given to us to gather on this morning. And Lord, especially we thank you for those offerings which have been brought today. We ask you to help us each one this year to understand and do what we should.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, Brother Bill.
I'm getting over a cold, so if I mess up, I have a built-in excuse. So,
Ferris, Lord Jesus, and then we give the children the opportunity to go to their class. Hymn number 72, please. Hymn number 72, please.
number 72, if you'll stand with me.
Valet service here in front of everybody. Thank you, brother. Thanks very much.
I'll put it on right away. Thank you very much. I have a very difficult subject to deal with today. I say difficult because most people don't want to talk about it. And preachers are always accused of asking for this. But let me just pray first so we can get the tables cleared, and then we'll come to the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for Thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for saving us from our sins. And we thank Thee for the privilege to sing these beautiful hymns, to hear this music which Lem played for us, and for Bill giving us the Word of God in song. We thank Thee for all of this, Lord. We thank Thee again, too, for those in our congregation who need prayer and for whom we just rejoice there's been answers to prayer. For Mrs. Crowner's husband, we praise Thee, Lord, for his rapid recovery and care. We thank Thee, too, for little Russell Maurer and what Thou art doing in his little body. Encourage his father and mother and his grandfather and grandmother. We pray also, Lord, for our brother Matt Postiff and Naomi in the birth of their little child. We thank Thee for all these blessings and also commend them all to Thee, Lord. We think of others who need prayer amongst us, like Ethel and Mary, and for Jean and Chuck, and for others amongst us. We thank thee for the Beards who are here today and for the Cornelacuses, we pray also. Oh, Heavenly Father, amongst these dear ones who come, notwithstanding their difficulties, we thank thee that we can pray one for another, and we just rejoice in this. Now bless the word of God to our hearts, Lord. Open our eyes. Give us receptive hearts and not rebellious hearts and say, I'm not going to do that. But give us that willingness to say, Lord, if it's that's in the Bible, I want to do it for thy glory and praise. We ask these favors in the precious name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, and with much, much thanksgiving. Amen. Last Wednesday, we had our annual general meeting. And as I said then, I will say this morning, by the way, if you are a member and you didn't get a copy of the reports and you want one, there are a few on my desk. Just go and help yourself. But I was quite amazed when I read the treasurer's report. And I found that the undesignated offerings for last year were $101,389.21. And the designated were another $47,000. So it made a total of $148,458.83. But what bothered me, if I don't mind me saying so, that when I took the report of being given to me, what my wife and I had given last year and what our son had given was a totally inordinate amount of money in regard to these totals. It made me feel very much ashamed. Not that I hadn't given, but that you hadn't given. And that bothered me because it shows that some people don't give very much at all. I don't know what you give. I only ask about people who do a lot of talking. Then I say to the treasurer, I want to know what that man gives, if he's talking inordinately about me or about the work of the Lord here. I want to know what he gives, because after all, what your mouth says, you better help your pocketbook. Otherwise, don't be talking a lot. That's important for us to understand. And we only have a small membership here, so the members have responsibility. Those who are friends, that's for them to give as they so desire. And I've told this before, let me say it again. We have had people from the outside give to this work. I just got a notice from one family which has been giving to us for 25 years, $100 a month. Do you give $100 a month? They've been giving it for 25 years, and they don't even belong here. There's another family that lives not too far from here. This family is quite a distance, but this other family, on a regular basis, will send, and you can tell by the money that they send, their gifts are sorted out so as it's the right proportion to the Lord's work. And they've been given here, well, it's over 25 years, because in the other church at which I was, they also gave there. And I had the joy to lead the woman to a saving knowledge of the Lord. At least she said she did. She was a Roman Catholic lady. And they've been giving somewhere between $75 and $100 a month regularly for over 25 years. And when you add that amount of money, it's quite a bit of money. But it isn't very much. And I want to show you that this morning from the Word of God, and also to show you something that I think will be helpful for you. I prepared this on Wednesday night on the spot, but I decided to put it down in a piece of paper. Would you turn, first of all, to Deuteronomy chapter 12? Deuteronomy chapter 12. I will not read the passage in toto, but I do want to show you a couple of verses that are very important. in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Now, you remember, this is the Old Testament. You say, well, where has this got to do with Hebrews? I'm not going to ask you to turn there right now, but the first words of chapter 9 are, and regarding the first covenant was the Mosaic covenant, the law. And in the previous chapter, chapter 8, we've been discussing between the Mosaic law and the new covenant. And we took a laborious time for two Sundays in the will of the Lord to study that and to show that we have a new covenant for Israel and a new covenant for the church. So I'm not out of the context. But before going on to the furniture and the items which are listed there about the first covenant and the tabernacle, I felt it was appropriate in the light of Wednesday night to come today and say, ah, the first covenant talks about a tithe. Look, please, at Deuteronomy 12. If I had the time, I'd read from 5 to 12. Let me start at verse number 5. But unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. And thither ye shall bring. It has no question about if you like to or you got time to, you will bring. You will come there. And you'll bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes and heave offerings of your hand, and your vows and your freewill offerings, and the firstlings of your herds and of your flocks. In other words, you'll bring this stuff whether you like it or not, because that's what you're supposed to do. I counted 6 items there. I'll put this on the overhead just now. They were required. Let's get that straight, my brother and sister. Matt Postiff reminded us in one of his sermons that we're required to keep the speed limit. Well, I was told by the local police that I could give a little 5 miles of grace, so I usually take the 5 miles. But the policeman also said, it's not necessary. We can stop you. And I've been in the court on one occasion over another issue, and a man was telling me he was driving 30 miles in a 25-mile zone. He said, I'm told that you can have 5 miles. He said, yes, but it's not necessary, so you pay the fine. But in the law of the Lord, after all, it's his law, he said, you are responsible whether you like it or not. And so Israel, under the law, was responsible for these items. Now, when I took this, and I just took the tithe out, I didn't worry about some of the other stuff. That's what we had.
Yeah. The burnt offering was the first one mentioned. Then the sacrifices. There were 5 sacrifices. The sin, the trespass, the meal, and the peace were sacrifices beyond the burnt offering. They had to come too. Then the tithe. And the tithe meant, of course, 10%. And the heave offering. The word vows is used. That's the votive offering. And then the freewill offering, which is part of the peace offering. 6 items they were to bring. You had no choice, my friend. He didn't say, if you like to, you bring it. He said, you will bring it. And this bothers us. In the home in which we're living, we've been there over 43 years. Mr. Wilkie lived next door to us. He was a member of St. Paul's Lutheran Church. And he used to come by and complain to me. He says, Dr. Sachs, my dues this year went up. And at St. Paul, you had dues. You had to pay. And so he was assessed so many hundreds of dollars on the basis of what they thought he should be able to pay. He said, I don't have any children in the school, but they want me to support the school anyway. And his money would be about $700 a year. I said, man, Mr. Wilkie, that's nothing. $700 a year. Goodness, you want me to tell you how much I give to our church? Well, he said, no. I said, I wouldn't tell you anyway. But I did figure this out. On a tithe basis alone, just a tithe basis, if you make $1,000 a month, you are responsible to give the Lord $100. Now, how much money do you make? Do you make $1,000 a month? If you make $2,000 a year, then you give to the Lord $200. And so on. Well, if you make $5,000, you owe the Lord $500 every month. And where does that come from? Right off the top, my friend. Not the bottom. It's not for you to say, well, my expenses are so much, so now all I've got is this left. Let me show you from the Word of God something which is very, very important. Turn to your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 17, please. 1 Kings chapter 17. First Kings chapter 17. You remember the story of the widow at Zarephath? The widow. Verse number 9 says she's a widow woman. She arose and went. That's where Elijah went. He went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God lives. In other words, listen, my dear friend, I have not a cake, but I have a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I can go and dress it for me and my son. Don't bother me, you're a stranger, that we may eat it and die. You can see the pitiful state this woman was in. And then the Bible says this, Elijah said, fear not, you go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Start with me. I'm the prophet of God. Then bring it to me, and afterward make for thee and for thy son. What I'm trying to say, dear friend, is that the Lord gets the first cut. If we had the time to read about the various sections in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, in Leviticus, and in Numbers, the herd. You didn't come to the Lord, as we read this morning from Malachi, don't bring me the leftovers, the ones that aren't worthy of anything. You give me the best. And this is our problem. We say, no, when I take care of my business, then I'll come around and give to the Lord. That's not right, friend. The moment you get your check, the moment you get your money, that money goes to Him, the Lord, first. I've told this before, it's worthy of repetition at this time. My father used to give me 50 cents to go to high school to buy ice cream or milk. 50 cents. That was years ago, centuries ago. But 50 cents was a lot of money. My dad didn't have much. My dad got, I believe it was, $250 a month. That's all he got. So give me 50 cents was a lot of money. Now I could buy a little cup of milk or some ice cream with some topping on it. That was 10 cents. So I had to go and drink water one day in order to have two of these 10 cents pieces so I could, 5 cent pieces so I could have some ice cream one day. But I want to tell you, I was so instilled by my father and my mother
that I took 5 cents out of that 50 cents, and that was a nickel I put in the Sunday school offering. I hate to see mothers and fathers
going, that is the word to use. I just dislike it. Where the mother and father digs in a pocket and gets some money, and then gives the kid, and now you
put this in the Sunday school offering.
Come on. Why didn't the kid do it himself?
Or don't you give him some money? From all the children I learned about, they've all got allowances like you can't believe it. Why they should get an allowance, I don't know, unless they do something for the allowance. Then that's okay. But just to hand it out to them, I don't think that's appropriate. That's my opinion, that's all. It's not in the Bible. Anyway, I look back to that experience at the Oak Park High School, and I had an ice cream once a week, and otherwise I had the milk, and I had that 50 cents. And so ever since, I've been in my mind, 10% belongs to the Lord. Whatever you make, boy, you give it to the Lord. It's His. Don't you touch that money. As a matter of fact, friend,
I think you're robbing God. That's what
the Malachi passage says. How much money do you make? I don't know.
I'm the only one in this congregation this morning that everybody in the church knows what I make.
If you don't know, you can just ask James and Bill and
Casey, and they'll tell you.
It's important, however, that you decide what you make, and then you say, this belongs to the Lord. Now, I don't know whether people just didn't give to the church. They gave to missions. They gave to other projects. That's their business. It's not ours. But I was very interested a number of years ago when David Brickner from the Jews for Jesus ministry, he said, we want you to give to us, but he said, you must give first to your local church. That's the place to go. Let me remind you, when you walked in this building this morning, was it hot? Yeah, it was nice and warm. Who pays for that electricity to produce a boiler that allows us? Yesterday, we paid $100 to have a man come and push a few buttons because the thing was wrong. You come and sit in chairs. You use hymnals. You use the lights. You are benefited by so much. I am also. And I'm so grateful to God. But who pays for this? Not John down the street. No, it's the congregation, the people who come. We don't have dues like my friend, Mr. Wilkie. We don't tell people they have to give so much. We just say, this is a free will offering this morning. That's one of those things. But that was in addition to the tithe for the Old Testament. Let me put it this way. Some of us are very happy that we don't operate under law, the Mosaic law. But if we don't opposite, what do? We do something better. We've got grace. And grace is a higher standard. So if we gave that much under the law, how much would you give now? It's just, it's beyond your comprehension. Do you remember the man? Sure you do. R.G. Letourneau. And he was advertised as giving 90% of his money to the Lord. But the 10% he kept back was more than my lifetime, whatever I'd ever make it in my lifetime. He had this heavy equipment. R.G. Letourneau. I remember when we were at, when I was at Wheaton College, he wanted to give some money to the college, but he wanted the building to be named after himself. And the school said, no, we'll name it what we want. If you want to give us the money to the Lord, then we'll take care of it. Well, they never got the money. It's just like what was in came out in the Christianity Today. You got to hear this one. That Wilkinson, Bruce Wilkinson, who's made his millions out of Jabez Boys. He's left South Africa to live in his palatial home down in Georgia. And the reason given in the article is that he left there because he gave the Swaziland government 5 days to decide so he could build for himself as a monument a place for HIV children and a nice golf course and like a Disneyland deal. And so they didn't do it, so he left. You got to be careful about how you give or why you give. You give because you give to the Lord. That's all. I wrote a check last night. It went in that bag down there. I didn't give it to Fellowship Bible Church. I gave it to my Lord. And I hope you did too. You did something about that. I want to say something. Brother, would you do this for me so I won't? I'm going to go and see a neurosurgeon tomorrow to find out what's causing my dizziness. On Wednesday night, we were told that there were, or not told, but we, the deacons, on the night before, took the envelopes and filled them with a letter which I wrote to people. And if you probably got your own letter, if you didn't get it, my wife has some, and if not, it'll come in the post for you. I don't know what to give, but we gave out 61 envelopes. That's all. In those 61 hours, if you took 50 people with $1,000, or go to 300. 50 people earning 1,000. Is that, what is that number anyway? $300. $300. It's $3,000 a month. They should give, under law, $15,000 a month. This breaks down to $3,750 a week. Our minimal budget is $2,500. The question is, what do you give? Now, under grace, what are the principles? I'm going to point them out to you this morning. Maybe this is a shocking thing to you. It shouldn't be. Everything we have is of the Lord. If you got a job, it's because God gave you a job. Absolutely. Some people don't have jobs. You got one, or you've had one. What did you do with what God gave you? I'm convinced, after my years in the ministry, as a missionary and as a pastor, it's not so much what people make, it's what they do with what they make. What they do with that stuff. How they live. With the level they want to live on and how they just go on. I know Terry Thompson is going to be here for our missionary conference this year. He takes, he says, in his country where he works, in Chile, they take the styrofoam cups and they rewash them so they can use them again. This cup, they'll rewash it so you can use it. But here at Fellowship Bible Church, throw them away. I see kids at the potlucks. They take plates like they're going out of style. And cups like they're going out of style. You can't do that. If you're a steward of what God puts in your hands. He's giving you something. He says, now you take care of this stuff. I said to this class this morning in the membership club. Let me tell you the bad news first, then I'll tell you the good news. This is the bad news. It's not nice to hear these things, but we all need this to remind ourselves, listen, who am I? What have I got? What's God doing with me? How am I sharing this accordingly by God's grace? We could use 3750. Yeah, we could do a lot of building. We could do a lot of giving to the Lord's work. We could do a lot of things. Originally, when Ramel Alexander came upstairs, the idea was that everything she gave would be given towards expansion in this church. And we amassed quite a bit of money. Now we get nothing like that. We do get some, but it's not like we used to get. Because we don't have enough, we have to draw on other sources. I don't know whether it's your responsibility or mine, but if you're a member, it's yours and mine to do something. Will you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'll follow through on the principles that God has given to us under grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, I was interested by the word collection because some people don't like that word collection. But if you will look at these other verses in verse Romans 15, I'm going to have to accordionize this considerably, but in Romans 15:26, the word koinonia is used, the fellowship. I have worked amongst the Plymouth brethren many, many times. And the brethren always say, I want to have some fellowship with you. And what they mean is, I want to give you something. In 2 Corinthians 9:5, it's an elagion, a good word. In 2 Corinthians 9:12, it's a diakonia. It's like a servant attitude. And in Acts chapter 24, verse 17, it's a matter of mercy. Lots of different words to use. It's not a shameful thing to talk about collections. I learned that down in the south, where I went to seminary, they used to lift the offering so that they'd go around to the people and lift the offering. C.I. Scofield didn't like that. The man who has the Scofield Bible, and he was the one who started the Scofield Memorial Church in Dallas, Texas. So what he did was put the box at the door, and people would give as they went out the door. He soon found people walked right by them. So Chafer used to say, the only way to do it is have a polite holdup. Pass the plate. It's terrible. People just don't respond until you just clobber them on the top of the head and say, hey, you know, you're supposed to do something here. Listen, do you ever go out to eat? When you go out, do you give them a tip? How much do you give them? Come on. The normal rate is 15%. That's what people give. Do you give 15% of your money to the Lord here? Do you? Well, why don't you? Why do you give them a tip? And they go and drink the stuff or smoke it or whatever, and you give it to them. We were in a restaurant the other day, the cheapy kind where you serve yourself. But there was a young fellow who came and helped us so many things. He gave us serviettes, he gave us knives and forks, he did all kinds of things. And I started to witness to him and talk to him. He says, well, he's a Christian. And I felt, you know, I had to do something with this kid. So I gave him some money, and he said, oh, thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Did you thank the Lord? It's really something, isn't it? First Corinthians says, you can talk about a collection. It's a matter of fellowship. You're sharing with this person, whoever it may be. Many of you know Les Rainey. He came to our church a number of years ago. He's from the Brethren movement. He's now over 90. His wife is gone. His third wife, by the way. He's gone to be with his sons now down the south. But he came to me one time in Johannesburg. He took me. I was only there by myself that year. He took me to his own home, gave me a nice meal. And then when he came back, he had to transport me. He took out of his billfold a rand note, and he stuck it in my hand. He said, you take this. I said, I can't take this from you, Les. No, he says, the Lord's told me to give this to you. Well, it turned about 20 rands. In those days, it was equivalent to about $25. I said, well, how can you do this? He's the same man who told me when I was in Dallas Seminary, you trust the Lord. God will see you. He'll meet every need of your life. And he lived that kind of life. My brother, this brother read today from Malachi, you give to the Lord, and you'll have more than you have ever considered. If you hold back from the Lord, he'll hold back from you. That's not me, that's the Bible. But you know, there's a second item. As I've given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. This tells you when you're supposed to do it. Everyone is to lay aside. And it's to be done on the Lord's day. I think an exercise should be made between you and your wife or your family, what you're going to do on the Lord's day. I always check with my wife. I tell her she's the CEO, but I'm the CFO. But I do check with her that what I'm giving is appropriate and acceptable. Today, we decide to give something overseas, a considerable amount to a school that needs help. You can do that here at this church. You can designate your finances. And we send it on in the will of the Lord. The point is that you give to him. You take what God has given to you and you say, okay, thank you, Lord. I praise you. I thank you. And if you give your tip of 15%, maybe it's high time you go to 15% to the Lord. Maybe that'll help out some of the other things which he listed. The sacrifices, the vows, the heave offerings, the wave offerings, all this stuff. Yeah. No, I don't think an Old Testament saint gave 10%. He gave probably 27 or 30%. Lots of money. It's not something that you are forced to give. You give because you love the Lord. I gave this reference the other night. I want to give it again. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the frowardness of the others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. That's why he says in verse number 7, see that you abound in this grace also. Abound in this grace. It's a grace gift. It's an opportunity to give to the Lord. I was absolutely amazed at this, that you are to give heartily, every person, in this 1 Corinthians passage. Notice what it says. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. The word for store is a word for a treasure. You set aside a treasure to give to the Lord. When we were in Sydney, Australia, a couple of years ago, a lady said she wanted to give my wife a special gift. She bought her an opal. Now she said, you take this opal home and have it set. And when you have it set, then you can wear it around your neck. I think she's wearing it this morning. No? Well, she's got an opal, which when the man fixed it up and made it so nice, he said, well, I think this is worth so many hundreds of dollars. It was a treasure that woman, Mrs. Tang, gave to my wife. When you come, you don't put the money in there and say, good riddance of bad rubbish. I got rid of the worst that I could. But you say, Lord, this is a treasure. I give it to you because I love you so much. We had a call from our son today, the youngest one. He said, today's my wife's birthday. Do you want to do something special for her? Isn't that what you do? I think that's what you do. And on the Lord's Day, you come to the church and you say, I'm going to do something special. I'm bringing my treasure to the Lord. The wise men, Brett, their treasures to the Lord. We can bring our treasures to the Lord. Lay in store a treasure. And every one of us. No, come on. It's not nice to pray. God bless those who could give and those who can't give. Everybody can give. Even in the Old Testament, they gave the turtle doves. They couldn't give an ox or a lamb. They gave a turtle dove. Everybody gave something. So when someone says, I can't give, please be. Why do you lie? The same man who says, I can't give to the Lord, goes out and has a meal. Same man goes and puts gas in his car. Same man does this and that, a thousand other things. But he can't give. Why? Because it's all himself. Let every one of you lay by him in store. As God has prospered him, you give proportionately. One can give more than another, but you give as God has prospered you. See, that's why R.G. Lanterna could give as he could, because his 10% would be far more than my 90%. I could give as much as he could. But I found in all my life experience, as a missionary, as a student, as a missionary, and as a pastor in Christian work, I can always do something. And God proportioned. Did you ever get a bonus? We used to have a lady, hey, you remember Belma, Britton? She'd get a bonus from the university. And we'd tell Belma, now listen, Belma, what you want to do with this money is save it and pay off your bills. Oh, no. She'd forthwith get a ticket to go to California with a bonus. Did the Lord get any of the bonus? Of course not. Why should he have it? It's my bonus. That's how the Lord proportions to you. Years ago, we had a number of Chinese people in our church. And there's a man by the name of Xu. And he said, we are going to give to the missionary conference this year so many dollars. I said, where are you going to get it? He said, we're going to pray it in. And those people went to work and prayed in money into their pockets so they could give to the Lord. It was amazing. I commend this to you, my brother and sister. This is not something hard. It's a joy. And Paul says here, there are no gatherings when I come. I don't want a special offering when I come. I just want you to give on a regular basis so that when it's necessary, the money will be there. And if people would do that, it would be perfectly wonderful. And then it says there in verse number 3, and when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. In other words, it's carefully cared for. I have for 25 years watched over the purse of this church. It's not been easy. I find sometimes things are purchased without approval. It's not good. And then I say, where did this come from? When I was at Grace Bible Church, if I may say this, there was always a purchase order which I had to sign before it could be, a check could be made out. I was the chairman of the board. And the chairman had to sign so that every expenditure was signed. It's approved. Very, very important. Some people are great at buying, but they don't often give. They can use somebody else's money. Do you know the Sunday school material costs money? I see the Sunday school stuff put out there on the desk, and sometimes the same stuff is there the next week. Nobody uses it. And yet, I don't know what the cost may be. It's quite a large amount of money. The books that you use for your Sunday school classes, the books you use in the WANA program, all that costs money. Somebody's got to pay for it. That's you and me. We are responsible because we're here. If you're not a member of the church, I'm not talking to you, I'm just, you're eavesdropping. But if you're a believer, then as a believer you want to do what God tells you to do. And do it faithfully. And if you have to quibble with your husband or quibble with your wife, you say, listen, this is what God says in His book. This little phrase in verse number 4, if it be meat, I take it not only is it the people who are taking the money, but the money must be sufficient, an adequate amount to do the job for the Lord. Let me read a little poem, please. We love what on ourselves we spend. We have as treasures without end. Whatever, Lord, to Thee we lend, who gave us all. And we sang, our brother sang, played for us, that the Lord gave everything. What have you given for Him? It's not a very exciting sermon this morning, but the truth of it is there. And I encourage you, as a child of the Lord, to think, to pray, to do what is right before the Lord. I would like just to read one more verse for you that will help you. Turn to Second Chronicles. Maybe it's First Chronicles. Yes, First Chronicles, chapter 29. Beginning at verse number 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. David said, blessed be Thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is Thine. Did you hear that? Your house belongs to the Lord. Your car belongs to the Lord. Your bank book belongs to the Lord. Your stocks and bonds and whatever. Everything you own belongs to the Lord. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all. And in Thine hand is power and might, and in Thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our Lord, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. But who am I at Fellowship Bible Church? And what is my people the congregation, that we should be able to offer so willingly, so excitingly after this sort. For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there's none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. And as for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people who are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. Oh, may the Lord help us to give willingly unto the Lord. Whatever you've got, my friend, he gave you. Use it for his glory. If you don't give here, I'll give someplace. But if you're a member here, your first concern should be is what's going on here. If you worship here, surely you should have some concern and interest as to what can I do to this place. God bless you, dear friend. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank thee for the privilege this morning to remind my brothers and sisters of what says the Lord, and to confront them from the Word of God to responsible Christians to do with what God provides for them in a proper way. If it needs to be changed, change them, Lord. If it means to maintain what they have been doing, so be it. If it's to increase, so be it. We just ask, Lord, that we may not be just hearers of the Word of God, but doers of what he says. Oh, we thank thee. Verses like Romans 6:14, that we're no longer under the law, but we are under grace. And because we're under grace, we feel that great responsibility under the tremendous provisions God has made for us to say, Lord, I want to thank thee. I prostrate myself in front of thee, Lord, to say thank thee. Oh, what a wonderful God we have. Heavenly Father, please speak to us. And may we be people who are responsible before the Holy God. Strengthen us, Lord, unto every good and perfect work, we pray. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus, we pray with much, much thanksgiving. Amen.